Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much. You're so good to us. You're so great, Lord God. We're thankful for your touch. We're thankful, God, Lord, that we've learned, Lord, in the last hour in our classes, Lord God, all across this building. God, Lord, learning and growing in you and in your word, Lord Jesus, I pray, let us apply that scripture this week. Let our spirits and hearts be bathed within our minds, Lord God, that we can change, God, that we can ever draw closer to you, God. I pray, anoint this house, Lord, this morning. Anoint every song that is sung as we enter into your presence, Lord God. Fill this place. You know every need, God. You saw the lifted hands, God. I pray you, Lord God, know the financial needs, the family needs, Lord God, the health needs, Lord Jesus, all different sorts of situations. I pray you minister, God, Lord God, in every need. Those who are watching online at home right now, minister to those who are sick, Lord God, we pray. We're so thankful. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. We're thankful, Jesus. We praise your name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If this is your very first time joining us, whether here in the building or online, we're so thankful that you chose to worship with us. Encourage you to fill out a connection card. There's at the kiosk an iPad you can fill out if you're worshiping online. That bit.ly link, just follow it. Just a few points of information that we're gathering so we can connect with you. We're so thankful that you're here with us, worshiping with us. If you're here in person, we do have a small gift right out at the kiosk. You can head out right now or after service and get that. Amen. We love to give here at Calvary Gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says to be a cheerful giver. Anyone hilarious and cheerful this morning? Amen. No hands. Okay. Awesome. Well, I'll be the hilarious, cheerful one, I guess. But many ways to give. That's the fun part. That makes you joyful because you can give like $5 online. Go to cgcmadison.org. And then you can give $5 in person right in the kiosk. There's a plexiglass box. If you got $5 in cash, go do that. Just split it up, just for fun one time. And then give by mail. Send it in. We love getting mail here at the church office. Sister Jessica would love to get your envelope with a check or cash in it. And then lastly is mobile giving. I had eye surgery, but I still can't see that far. Mobile giving right on the app, Church Center app. Download it right now. Sign up. Give $5 in there. Just pick a category for fun. Just do random, like, and whatever it lands on, give to that ministry, that cause. Amen. You will be blessed. Be hilarious and cheerful when you're doing it. It makes it so much better when you laugh all the way. And thank you, Jesus, returning all this to you. Amen. You're so good to us. Amen. Amen. Another way to give of ourselves, that's volunteering. Coming up Memorial Day weekend, I think this is the first time in a couple years since COVID. Maybe they had it last year. I don't know. I'm out of the loop. But Broadfest is taking place again. Sister Kim, raise your hand. Kim Knopp. She helps coordinate this. Basically, what happens, if you're not familiar, it's run by a whole host of volunteers, from frying brats and getting grease everywhere and in your nostrils and all over yourself. And it's a blast from what I hear. Never done it. But you can wrap those brats and laugh at those who got grease in their ears and all that stuff. Or you can drive golf carts, drive people around. Anyways, every volunteer earns an hourly donation to the church. Ministries all across the church are supportive. We've raised tens of thousands in the last 15-plus years that we've been involved. If you've never been involved or want to be involved, see Sister Kim. Or right on the Church Center app, there is a group called Bratfest Volunteers, something like that. Join that group. Request to join. And all the information to sign up. Sign-ups have started. You want to get your slots in fast. That is signing up for Memorial Day. So a couple months away. But we sign up early. Amen. This week, I mentioned district conference is taking place. The church office is closed this coming week due to district conference. So be mindful of that. And then one last thing is Easter is on its way. Amen. Just a few weeks away, April 7th through the 9th, Easter weekend. Friday night, we're having our Good Friday service at 7 p.m. We'll have communion that evening. And then Sunday, we'll have our classes at 10 a.m. like normal. And then right back here at 11 a.m. for our Easter service. Amen. If you would stand with me, I need to correct one thing from our classes last last hour, I invited everyone to our board game, and I shamelessly said, come see my new cornea that I have and watch me destroy everyone in the board games. However, I have never beaten Christy in Wingspan, so I apologize. If we play Wingspan, you will see me lose once again because I can never beat her. So she corrected me that I don't beat everyone. And the other Phil, between the two Phils, we're pretty good. So Stackhouse and I. So, amen. Let's go to worship this morning. Amen.
The doors sing like sea glory. the throne before you. I bow.
The glory. Sing it again. Of the Holy Ghost in this place today. We serve an awesome God. And this place is full of His glory. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Before we get into our, thank you so very much to our worship and praise team. Musicians, this is awesome. Last Sunday morning, I stood before you here and I presented a situation that was unfolding in Janesville with All Saints Anglican Catholic Church. Their last service will be Easter Sunday. And they contacted Brother Ben Smith and asked if we were interested in their building. And so we went down a week ago Monday and took a tour of the building, and we presented it to our church board. We had a board meeting, and the board unanimously voted to purchase the building at the purchase price. They were asking $55,000 to cover a loan and a closing cost on the building. So the totally furnished building, everything just ready to pretty much just move in for $55,000. Now, last Wednesday evening, we had a business meeting after our service. Some of you were here, some of you were not able to make it. I just wanted to give you an update on that. The congregation voted, and it was a 100% less one. We had a mother tending to a child and blurted out no just at the right moment. So I think Sister Lindsay Simmons will never live that one down. But the church voted unanimously to turn an offer in on and to purchase the building. And I don't know if you've been car shopping, but you can't really buy a decent, it's very difficult to buy a good used car, buy a new car. $55,000 is not a whole lot of money. You can get up on a couple months worth of gift coupons from Culver's depending on how often you go. But so we voted to purchase the building, and we turned in an offer in on Friday morning, and kind of give you a little update on how this all went. The church wanted until March 27th because they were considering three other offers. They wanted to make sure that the other churches had an opportunity to look at the building and submit an offer. And Brother Ben Smith called them and said, well, our church unanimously voted. This was last Wednesday night after we had met. And he let him know that we unanimously voted, and he needed to know what his email address was so we could send the offer over. And Father Earl, either late Wednesday night or very early Thursday morning, because Brother Ben called me at 8 o'clock with the report, and they felt, because Brother Ben said we're looking at other facilities, which is correct, we're looking at four other facilities, and Father Earl felt a necessity to call his group together, and they voted unanimously either late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning to accept our offer. So we're excited about that, and we'll be having some helping them out on some work days, and we're going to have a transitional service where it's their congregation and our congregation, along with Janesville, will join together and kind of have a transitional service. And it's a very awesome opportunity, and we're excited. And So God is very good. And on those same lines, God just, we had brother and sister Wallace and Linda Carter came into my office a few years ago. Seems like it's been a long time ago, but just hasn't been, maybe not quite two, but maybe a year and a half, sharing with them, with us, or with myself, a burden that they had felt God calling them back to Germany, which is where they first pastored when they were in the military. And I was just like, no, no, Lord, I don't know about this. But I also understand that God has plans. And when we talk, and when I get up, and I speak and teach that God has a purpose for everyone, that purpose doesn't always mean it's going to be fulfilled right here in our local assembly. And I have to understand that. Part of my responsibility, the biggest part of my responsibility as your pastor, is one, to make sure that you have enough information to get saved and stay saved. And then also the second portion of that responsibility is whatever God has called you to do, whatever your purpose is, it's my responsibility to help you get there. It's our responsibility to help each other get there. And God has called them to, I am horrible with names, but I'm going to try my best at being German today. Grafenwieder, Germany. Say that real fast. You got to roll the R's. But this is a three-year assignment with the Department of Defense. And Sister Linda is extremely talented. And God has given her Brother Wallace. They are a tremendous ministry couple. Brother Wallace is going to be helping rebuild the base there. There are approximately, I believe, 42, 46,000 soldiers and their families there in that area. And they're going to be rebuilding the church there for the military. And Sister Linda has accepted a position with the Department of Defense as the Occupation Health Director for that base. I would just like the Wallace, the Carters, for the Wallace, Sister Linda, Victoria, all of you, just all of you. I know you're a little, I see your little guy. He's like 6'5". He's got his headphones on there. We are so blessed to have this family. We're going to have Sister Victoria is going to be staying here. She's going to be taking care of the home front while they're over there. And we're going to have an official going away service for them. But just, this is coming up. They're flying out April 10th. And this has been quite a lengthy interview process for them to go through. But when the military says, okay, we've selected you, it's time to go. Here's the plane, be on it, see you in Germany. It's time to go. So continue to pray for them, and we'll have a send-off for them. But God bless you, Wallace and Linda, the Carter family, Victoria. Thank you so, so very, very, very much for all that you have done here over the years. It's good to see our bishop here today. Brother Ben Carter is just completing his college, if I'm not mistaken. So he's gone through college, and he's ready to become an independent man. And so continue to pray for Brother Ben as he ventures out. Many of you know he has autism, but the Carters have done a tremendous job acclimating him. Brother Ben is an awesome man, and we're thankful. We have been in a series since the beginning of the year. Our theme for this season has been Press On. We talked about pressing on, and primarily as we started off the beginning of the year, it was pressing on in the spiritual realm. And so we covered that in January and a portion of February, and now we are into March, and we are talking about the battle for the mind. We've been talking about mental health and the struggles that people have with mental health. It's not a topic that is often discussed in churches, less often over a pulpit, as we are doing, but I feel very strongly about this. We are reading from this morning from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version, and this is Paul writing to the church there in Rome, and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. I'm sure he was talking brothers and sisters, but he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Be not conformed to this world. We know we are in the world, but we are not of the world. But at times it is difficult because we are in the world. The world pushes and pressures us, and we feel the pressures and the anxieties and all of the busyness and the stress of the world on our lives. But he's telling us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I have said this many times, with every promise that God gives us, every blessing he gives us, there's some sort of a test that goes along with this. And Paul seemingly is following up a little bit on this as well by telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that there's going to be a test on this. If God is going to transform our thought process, he is going to test us in that transformation process. Understand something, that everything God does in us, for us, and through us is to help perfect us. Paul talks about this a lot in his writings to the church, the New Testament church, about the perfecting of the saints. What he's realizing, that we can't get to perfection just by ourselves. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I can't become what is perfect or what God desires to be perfect in me without you. And you can't be perfect as God is desiring you to be perfect without the rest of us. We need to grate on each other's nerves to help build perfection. You didn't realize that, did you? How many of you have family members that grate on your nerves? How many of you have workers where you work that grate on your nerves? Brother Phil, be careful there now. You did a good job last session, so my eyes are good. Oh boy, we have fun. How many of you husbands and wives know how to push the right buttons? We all. There are times, I promise you, yet this morning, there are you here that when you got up, your spouse said something that kind of irked you a little bit, and you have been trying to figure out a way to make her or him more perfect as the day progresses on. You see, all of this testing is done that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, when we're talking about our mental health struggles, and we're talking about this last few sessions has been on struggling with anxiety. And on Wednesday evening, we went through and we started to cover some of this, and we talked about negative thoughts that can get into our minds, and even in our prayer closets, the enemy can come in to our minds. And we use as an example of Jesus on the mountain, and he's been there for 40 days, and he's praying and fasting. And who's there with him? Satan. Who's there tempting him? Satan. Who's there trying to get into his mind? Satan. So we have to understand that the enemy is constantly trying to get into our heads. And our focus, our prayer focus sometimes is to fight, conquer, or break through. And sometimes we leave that prayer or we leave that session of prayer and we feel a loss or we feel somewhat defeated and somewhat vulnerable even after we have prayed. And thus what happens is we get caught into this loop of thinking that when we pray, our thoughts become negative thoughts, and we pray negatively, and we end up with this big round impenetrable circle that we talked about anxiety, we talked about stress, we talked about what is listening to the enemy and determining what is truth in our lives and how we perceive truth. Our perception of truth may be very different and someone else's perception of truth. So we went through all this. We talked about beware of the potholes. Driving down the road, and there's potholes in the road. And we begin to battle. This is a quick review from Wednesday night, but beware of the potholes. Some of these things, if you know that you struggle with some of these things, watch out for them. We're going to talk and we're going to start our next portion of this series. We're going to be talking about triggers, things that trigger us. You ever just driving down the road and you just all of a sudden you look at a billboard or somebody passes you and it triggers something in your mind. A phone call or a text message and it triggers us. We're going to talk about that. But we're going to move on this morning. We're going to talk about how our brain and our body algorithm or our operating system, how God designed us. We can just look at the physical. I can look at Brother Phil and I can see him physically, but I can't see his gallbladder from here. He doesn't have one. Probably why I can't see it. I can't look around and I can't look in and say, wow, Brother Matt, you got a problem in your liver this morning. I can't see out inside of you. There are things going on as you're sitting here this morning and you're processing this service and this message. Your mind is thinking, where is he going with this? When are we going to be done with this? Really, we can think all you can be already out in your after you can already be in your nap time, in your thoughts. You see, all of these things, our bodies, our operating system, what we call our executive system. We talked about anxiety and how that affects us, and how that chemicals in our brain are dumped into our bodies, and it begins to impact our thought process. So we're going to move on to our next point this morning, and that is that we need to evaluate the impact. And we have to ask our question, does this situation, whatever it is, whatever your anxiety, whatever your frustration, whatever stressing you out, you have to ask yourself, evaluate the impact, does this really matter? Sometimes our negative thinking plays out more as feelings or specific thoughts than anything else. Remember, our bodies go through a chain of events when something happens, when our anxiety is triggered, or our stress levels increase, or our frustrations, depression, all of these things. And when something negative happens, it can trigger us into this negative feedback loop that points back to our negative thoughts. So we recognize, we review, and we realize. We have to just take and stop for a moment and start to do some mental health checks. Now, if we were out hiking and climbing up at Devil's Lake, and it was maybe yesterday, and it was snowing, and we had some of our, one of our connection groups went on a hike yesterday. I don't believe it was Devil's Lake, but I'm sure that at somewhere along that process yesterday morning, there was some recognizing, some reviewing, and some realizations that it's cold outside, the wind is blowing, and it's near blizzard conditions from depending where you're standing. In life, we have to recognize the situation. We have to recognize what is happening. We have to review, and we have to realize. We have to recognize what happened that triggered this internal reaction or feeling that is now taking place in me. You ever come into church and somebody just look at you and say, I want to talk to you? You ever have that happen? Oh, I have. Some of you have put me in a fight or flight. Not too long ago, I had a brother. I texted him. I said, hey, I'd like to have breakfast with you on Monday. Are you available? And he said, yeah. I said, I just have a few things I want to run by you. I didn't get into any details, and if he's available, he's available. If he's not, and I had breakfast Friday afternoon with another brother. And Friday afternoon, this other brother was telling me about the other brother on Monday. Had called him and said, I'm not for sure what's going on. The pastor called me. He wants to have breakfast on Monday. Do you know what's going on? Did I do something wrong? You see, this is what happens. One little thing can trigger. I didn't mean to do that to this brother. I didn't mean to take and set him into a negative feedback loop, but he was concerned. He was worried that what did I do wrong? And this happens to us. So we have to recognize, then we have to review our emotions, our physical reaction. How do we feel? Why all of a sudden did this conversation cause me to be angry or sad? Why am I sitting here with my heart racing? Because someone asked me a question. So we have to recognize, we have to review, and we have to realize. And if this is something that we struggle with, I think we all at some point or another struggle with these things. We may not want to admit it. We may not want to say that, yes, when people, when I have negative conversations, it affects me one way or the other. So we have to realize that what mental traps or what potholes are out there that are causing us to lose traction or lose alignment in our lives. Thus, we get stuck. And when we get stuck in this thought of this all or nothing thinking. I had a conversation with someone just this past week, and it was actually, I believe, Thursday, and I'm not going to get into all the details. It was very humorous because they were telling me about a very similar situation that happened at their work where that HR had come in and said, we want to have a meeting with all of the employees, and everybody was all of a sudden all nervous, and everybody started to talk about we're all going to get fired and this and that and the other, and the meeting takes place, and the boss, the big boss from upstairs, comes in with the HR representative, and they start to talk, and as they begin to tell all of these employees that they're being reclassified in their jobs, and your reclassification of your jobs means that you're all getting pay raises. And everybody sat there in silence and stared. It just hit and seemingly kind of bounced off because they had prepared themselves for the worst. And this happens to us so many times. This happens in our thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. It is hard sometimes to break free of this, to break free. So our next point, and I want to close today with this point. We have to come up with a new route. We have to come up with a new process. If we're stuck in an old thinking process and we're not getting there from here, we have to change something in our heads, in our minds. It's not always easy to do that. We don't have to fight this battle by ourselves. This is why we have a God. This is why we have a family of God. This is why we have brothers and sisters. So getting unstuck does not mean that we have to respond immediately with just Happy Gilmore thoughts. Sometimes we think that, oh, I have negative thoughts. Okay, so you're going to tell me that everything has to be happy thoughts, positive thoughts. No! Just a change in thinking can lead to. So getting unstuck does not mean that we have to respond with positive thinking. Instead, it challenges the thought. I want you to challenge the thought. I want you to challenge the weakness and respond with self-compassion and a well-being biblical principle perspective. The Bible says no man hateth himself. And yet sometimes we just sit there and look in the mirror and tell ourselves, I just hate you for some of the dumb. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever just sat there and said, you are so absolutely stupid. I can't believe it. I have. But Scripture tells me that no man hateth himself. I think I'm going to believe what Scripture says, because I think we get ourselves sometimes so worked up and we get ourselves so wrapped around ourselves. So renew with a challenge. We have to sometimes just, is maybe as a wife we're struggling with some things, or as a husband we're struggling with the things, the family, the finances are down and work is tough and a lot of sickness and such. Does my wife really feel the way I feel about myself? It's amazing sometimes when you sit down with someone to talk with someone, not knowing what that someone is going to tell you, and you're already thinking the worst, and they sit down with you and they start to take and compliment you on things. And you've already made up your mind that you're dumb, stupid, and you've already tried to figure out a way that you can take and save a little bit of face in this situation. And they sit down and say, you know, I so much appreciate your presence or your in my life. I appreciate your voice in my life. So renew the challenge. Is this how my closest friends, is this what my wife thinks about me? Is this what my husband thinks? Is this what my kids think about me? Would I ever say this about someone else? Boy, we can we can rehearse conflicts, confrontations in our minds, can't we? And we can put it all together, exactly what we're going to say, and we're going to stay firm, and then we get into the face-to-face conversation and everything changes. So we have to renew with self-compassion. I may not say or do everything that's right. I know I'm not perfect. There's no one here that is perfect. I get up here sometimes, and I try my best to say the right things, and sometimes, you know what, it just doesn't come out that way. Sometimes you look at it, and it looks really good on paper, Pastor Phil, but when it comes out verbally, it just don't come out the same way it's written. So we have to renew with self-compassion. I may or may not say I'm not perfect. I can grow from my mistakes. I think the sign of a healthy family, whether it's a physical family or a spiritual family, is how well do we grow out of our mistakes. We all boo-boo. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. And just because we make a mistake, it doesn't cancel you out as a person. When I look out here and I see Dan and Julie Powell, and I'm picking on them because I know they're mature enough to handle it, but I'm sure that they've made mistakes in their lives. Dan, do you have to? I'm just kidding. We make mistakes, don't we, Dan? Like chasing a car down the driveway. But you know what? Did your wife cancel you out? Or did she sit there and just fall over on the ground laughing? No. We make mistakes. And just because you make a mistake doesn't mean, I think our Bible lesson this morning about the prodigal of the parable of the parable of the prodigal, we'll get it out, is a perfect example of someone that made a mistake and was welcomed back with open arms. We all boo-boo. Get over it. Our family, our friends, our spouse. God, I am so thankful. I have prayed this prayer many times. God, I'm so thankful that you have not abandoned me because of my sometimes blatant, just outright stupidity. You know, when Brother James Hawk has got up here many times, CIP, and he's preached, and he said, you can't fix stupid. Remember that? It's a rough one to fix. Something you got to do yourself. Other people can't fix it for you. But God doesn't cancel us out because we make a mistake or because we sin. It's that hard. Think of a child who's come to you in tears saying that they feel worthless. And what would you do? Would you just look at them and say, well, you ought to. Look what you just did. You just poked your sister in the eye. You ought to feel, no. We may think that, but we don't always say that. And God is saying, I know it's hard. I know it's rough. That's why I have supplied you with all of this information. That's why I have given you my word. That's why I have put people in your lives. And God is saying, I see your strength and I see your faith. And I see so much in you. I believe in you. God believes in you. That's amazing. It's amazing to me that God, after all of the things that we have done, God says, I believe in you. And I love you. And I will always be there for you because you are worth everything to me. Everything. We wonder sometimes whether or not God loves us. He gave his life. I love you, brother. The green light was out. Means I'm dead. Is that your way of telling me that it's time to hurry up? You see, sometimes we just need to reflect on a new thought. Life is, listen, I can promise you that you will get through this period of stress, this period of anxiety, and there'll be something else, because that's how life is. That's how the enemy works. And until we learn to combat this and fight this, and the fight starts in our minds, and it ends in our minds, and the enemy tries, let's just stand this morning. The enemy does his best to take and get into our heads. So we have to be aware of the potholes in life. And every day is going to have potholes. Every day we're going to run into things. We have to evaluate the impact on our lives. Does this really matter? How important is this? If it's just office gossip and office trash, somebody's opinion on Facebook or social media, who cares? I'm sure you, as well as myself, we are the source of a lot of people's likes or dislikes on social media. We don't care. I care what God thinks. Now, we do. We have to understand in context. We need to care about other people and what other people think, how we treat other people. But I don't know that there's ever been a statue ever built anywhere for a critic. I read that somewhere, so I thought it was probably true. We had to think about that. Anybody ever hear of a statue built for a critic? See, then we have to evaluate the impact. Does this really matter? We have to renew with a new route. Sometimes it just means that we have to reposition ourselves in a room. If we have anxiety, some people struggle with crowds. It just means just reposition yourself. Just move to a different place. Just simple. Renew with a new route and reflect with a new thought. Reflect with a new thought. Say, Lord, I want your mind. I want your heart. I want to think your thoughts. I want people to see you in me. I'm not perfect, but I want them to see as much of you as they can see in me. And understand something, that thrive thinking isn't always perfect thinking. But it's practicing to be resilient. We get in such ruts. We get in physical ruts. We get in spiritual ruts. We get in emotional ruts. We get in critical thinking ruts. We just get in ruts. And sometimes we just have to practice resilient thinking. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have a negative thought again. It just means that we're learning to press on. We're learning to push forward. We're going to push through this. We can do this. I can do this. You can do this. So when the enemy comes at you and you begin to feel all of these anxiety, all of these things building up, just remember, potholes. Just stay away from it. That may mean one of your best friends at work might just happen to be a pothole. You'd have to be here Wednesday night to get this. We talked about driving on the road in potholes. It might be a situation that you find yourself in. Just stay away from it. Be aware of it. Evaluate the impact, renew with a new route, and reflect on a new thought. So what we're going to do this morning is, I know some of you have already asked, struggling with physical ailments in your body. I just want, if you have a physical need this morning, right up over on this side of the altar. I'd just like for you, if our ministers and our elders can come. And we have some oil here. I believe in laying on of hands. Scripture tells us to do that. So we're going to pass this on to Brother Rossing, and he's going to lay hands on Sister Anita, who's been struggling with some health issues. Maybe you find yourself in a pothole, and your vehicle, your life has been thrown out of alignment, and you're struggling, I just want to invite you down to the middle portion of our sanctuary here. Maybe it's something's happened in your life, an event that you're struggling with. Maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've never received, never repented of your sins, and filled with the Holy Ghost, or been baptized in the name of Jesus, I just want to invite you over to this section of our altar area here this morning. And while our worship team begins to pray or begins to sing, I just want to invite, as a congregation, let's just begin to lift our hands, begin to worship the Lord, begin to thank Him for His presence in our lives. Can we do that this morning?
There is power in Break every chain, break every chain, to break
church is such a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. I just want to encourage you. You may leave out of here and say, well, I don't feel much different than when I came in, because I've been in services that I've walked out feeling that way. I'm not trying to be just all sad and doldrum, but sometimes healing doesn't happen instantly. But just start putting yourself on the right course and start making those adjustments. You look at a sailing ship, and I just recently watched a video because it just kind of amazes me how you can take a ship and sail into the wind or against the wind using sails. It's like, how does that work? And it's all in how you set the sail. And it's all those little adjustments on your jib lines. And all we're doing here today is giving you information to help you to go home and sit down and evaluate life and make those little adjustments here and a little adjustment there. And before you know it, you're on a different course. You're going a different direction. And you can feel that nice, warm breeze of the Holy Ghost blowing you along. God bless you. We will not remember Wednesday evening. Our pastoral staff, we will be at our district conference. And I'm not for sure if it's Brother Bryce Grant. Are you speaking Wednesday evening? No. Jordan Powell. Jordan Powell. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Jordan Powell will be speaking, and that'll be awesome. Do good now. Don't be nervous. They'll all be looking at you. God bless you. We love you all. Next Sunday, we'll be starting in a new portion of our series, but have a blessed week. It's supposed to be beautiful weather this week, and get out and enjoy it, and God bless you.